Okay, good afternoon. The time is 1:09. It is Friday, June 26th. This is the time and place for the Public Art and Community Design Committee's Education Subcommittee. I'll go ahead and begin with a roll call to establish quorum. Adrienne Ackerman.
Present.
Leanne Hernandez. Brandon Varela.
Here.
Adia Jamil. Dusty Reyes. Audrey Weiner. Logan Green.
Present.
And Adia Jamil. We're doing roll call.
Are you asking me if I'm here? Sorry.
Yeah.
Yay.
Okay, so we have four members present and we do have quorum. Next item on the agenda is the call to the audience. Members of the public may sign up to speak at the link in the agenda. This is the time when any member of the public may address the Public Art and Community Design Committee members. Due to time constraints, the total time allocated for this is 15 minutes. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes each. At the conclusion of the call to the audience, members of the public may respond to a personal criticism made by those who have addressed the public body, may ask staff to review a matter, or may ask that a matter be put on a future agenda. Please note that personal criticisms do not include criticisms of a policy, project, proposal, etc. Members of the public body shall not discuss or take legal action or on matters raised during an open call to the public unless the matters are properly noticed for discussion and legal action. It does not appear that we have anyone signed up to speak. I have not received any letter regarding this meeting as well. So, with that, we can move on to item three, the 2026 Public Art Plan. I did send you all the 2025 Public Art Plan just to orient yourselves. And with that, I will pass it over to Adrienne to lead us in this discussion.
Well, thank you all so much for being here. Thank you, Sadie, also for sending the public art plan. And Adia, thank you for being here. You came in, that was like perfect timing. Your name was being called.
Oh, sorry. I responded to Sadie's text, but I didn't hit send, so I'm telling her that
No, I'm serious. That was like perfect timing. You were calling roll call, so well done. Great. So I don't want to take up too much time because we've already like prefaced this a lot in the PACD meetings, but I did want to check in and ask for honest answers here because I think it will help me understand like where to jump off from or encourage us to jump off from. But I'm just curious if anyone has not had a chance to look at the fiscal year 2025 public art plan that was sent as an example, or is maybe still a bit unfamiliar with the ADs, the directives from the city of Tucson about what the public art plan is, or just needs a refresher on like why what we're getting together to talk about today.
Yeah, I've looked over the plan that was sent a little bit, but I probably do need, just kind of more understanding and context, especially since I'm new to the team.
Totally. Great. Anybody else have any specific requests for context or want to check in about where you're at? Like you're like, I'm here, but I forgot why. That's totally.
I hadn't had a chance to look over it, but I would also just like more information simply because I'm also new. So before I start having suggestions, I to have a place to like a base point, I guess, to start from would probably be.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's totally makes sense because what we're trying to achieve as a group is a little ambitious and a little like nebulous. So, and Brandon, I was going to ask if you had anything, but it looks like you're good. Okay. So, let me, may I share my screen, Sadie? Oh, cool. Now it says I can, I think. Okay. Oh, sorry, that just rearranged some things on my screen. Let me just get things back. Okay. Can you all see my screen with the administrative directives up? Awesome. So something that like we have been going back and forth about. Oh, sorry, this is, I should have scrolled up for this one. For a hot minute now, in PACD, perhaps the entirety of my tenure on PACD is like, what is the purview of PACDC when it comes to the public art plan? And it looks different when you look in different places. So, for example, in the administrative directives as they are published in American Legal, if we come down to the Public Art and Community Design Committee, it says it's a standing committee composed of 21 voting members that participates in the development and implementation of the public art plan and promotes the public art program. So, the public art plan and the public art program are considered separately here in this AD. The public art plan is defined throughout it as basically the projected projects for the city that fall under the umbrella of capital improvement projects. Because capital improvement projects, which are basically projects that have like a lot of interaction from the public on a daily basis, so like streets, highways, you know, things like that, they get a parks. Like a percent, 1% of their budget is allocated to public art. And so that becomes what the Arts Foundation refers to as like the public art plan. But then there's other things that can be donated, that can be, that are like less about permanent art installations and more about community engagement. So like the Salud Arte program. And those are all a part of like the public art program as different from the public art plan. Sadie, feel free to jump in if I'm getting this wrong, but this is my working understanding. So I'm gonna pause there real quick and see if there's any questions on that before I move on. So then when we look at the fiscal year 2025 public art plan. So this is kind of like every month that we meet as PACD, Wilwyn, who is the public art director, gives an art director's report and sends it out to us as part of the materials for those meetings. And it includes like what the current and upcoming capital improvement projects are. And those are the ones that require panels. So there's panels of folks that are selecting the artists, that are kind of approving the art. And we are invited to participate in them. It is part of our charge and purview as a committee to also educate people about this plan and about the projects that are within it. So when you put all of those public art directors' reports together, you basically get this like fiscal year public art plan. But this is basically like the projected projects for the next fiscal year. This one is the last fiscal year, but for the next fiscal year is what we'll be considering as part of PACD. And all the projects that the city has earmarked for it. So again, it kind of goes over the public art program here in the sorry report. And again, this is where the Arts Foundation defines the Public Art and Community Design Committee. And in this definition, it says that PACD reviews the plan and provides feedback. So this is a different conceptualization than what is communicated in the administrative directives, which is that we like develop, we co-develop it and implement it. In here, this says that we review the plan and provide feedback on it. So there's been a lot of back and forth about like, what is it that we actually do in regards to the plan? What does the plan now entail? What could it entail? And because there's kind of just like, this is all we have in terms of the language that's in administrative directives, there's a lot that's up for interpretation. And so this year, as opposed to just being like, yep, we're rubber stamping this art plan and that's all that's included, we were going to attempt to perhaps include other things, perhaps increase the def like expand the definition of what the public art plan could be conceptualized as, and also maybe include some goals that go beyond capital improvement projects or goals that we want to have funded by capital improvement projects. Now, once we make these suggestions, like we're starting that conversation today, and that can include things like we talked about, like a free wall. It could include like a public art education program to like help artists understand how to get involved in public art in our region. There are a few other ideas that we workshopped a little at the last PACD meeting, and that inspired several of you to join this meeting, I think. So I think today we're going to talk about like what do we want to include, but I think we also have another opportunity here, and that is we could propose an expanded definition of what PACD is, like what we are doing and what we want to contribute. Any of the suggestions that we come up with today or in subsequent working meetings together, they will be reviewed by the Arts Foundation's board. They may or may not progress as part of the public art plan proposal to City Hall. If they do, then they're then reviewed by like the city manager, is my understanding, the city manager's office, rather. And we don't know where it would go from there because we haven't really tried this before. So it's all kind of a big experiment to see like, what do we want to champion? What do we have the capacity to champion? For example, if we're going to suggest things like a free wall or a public arts education program, we probably need to internally work up proposals and things that have a little bit more substance. Today, I have examples to share with you if you're so interested. I have the letter that you may or may not have seen that endorses the free wall that PACD sent out in 2022. I have examples of other free walls from around the world and a map, an interactive map where you can see where a lot of them are all over the world. Examples of things that could be included in a proposal. I have some thoughts on like what, how we could maybe start to approach like augmenting the definition of PACD and its purview or its goals, really, like not so much its purview, but like its mission statement. Because that might help. Oh, this is another thing to just throw in there. The county is currently in communication with the city and the Arts Foundation about like what are the roles of county representatives on PACD and like what is the relationship going to be between the county and PACD now that the Arts Foundation does not administrate the county's public art programs. So this is like a ripe opportunity for us to kind of get in with, when there's already all this brainstorming about like what is the future configuration of public art in our region between these different jurisdictions? It's an opportunity for us to say, okay, but, and also the future of PACD is we'd like to see this mission expanded to include X, Y, and Z. I've just been talking at you for quite some time. There's examples I can share. There's other things, you know, we can jump in wherever, but I want to, one name that included in those examples is a recent, I think as of last week or so, donation application from the Sugar Hill Neighborhood Association. Or no, is it from the Sugar Hill Community Land Trust?
The Land Trust.
The Land Trust. That's right. For a free wall at Doris J. Thompson Park. So we have that also to share. But I've been talking at you for quite a hot second, and I shared a lot of information, and I just want to check in and see where folks are at. Adia, Brandon, Logan, how you feeling with all this information? Thoughts? Let's spitball.
Yeah, I think a place that I'd like to focus is on some of that like verbiage between one document and another document. It sounds like the legal definition from the other the I don't know from the non-Arts Foundation document. It seems like that is at the foundation of what we're allowed to do as a committee. And then if the plan has verbiage that doesn't contradict that, then that means then the plan's stuff would be the next, like what we're allowed to do, right? Like at least that's how I'm interpreting it. So they can be different verbiage as long as like they don't contradict each other, right? So like if one says that we develop the plan, and then the next one says we participate in the development of the plan. Like, okay, well now it's not us developing the plan, but that is the definition that we've now agreed to. So I definitely think it would be worth it to spend some time talking about how can we recommend at least that the verbiage stays consistent through those.
Great. Anyone else have thoughts?
And if I may weigh in, so the language on the Arts Foundation website about the PACTC member role, it's the same language that the city uses on their data page on the PACTC website. We are aware of the slight inconsistencies from the city's administrative directives to what's on our website and what's on the data page. I brought this up with the city clerk's office, and they did not respond about the difference with the data page information and the ADs. So if you go to the city's website, I think that's what we're talking about, right? The slight, like, evaluate and participate language.
Yeah, so in the so I was referencing the where is it? The American Legal Publishing, because that's where like the actual code
Right.
is the most accurate. And for those folks who aren't nerds about this stuff, like that's just where local jurisdictions upload, like they like send for legal publishing the codes that they pass. And so that one says, voting members that participates in the development and implementation of the public art plan. And then in the Arts Foundation's 2025 annual report, instead of saying, participates in the development, it says,
Well, yeah, it seems to
oh, wait.
define it as something additional, as far as I can tell. Like it
Yeah,
then is like,
sorry.
and then it reviews the plan and provides feedback, as opposed to what sounds like development.
Totally. Yeah. So it's not necessarily like you were saying, it's not like an inconsistency. Like there's not like a discrepancy that challenges the other. It's that they're for the Arts Foundation seems to be further defining
Oh.
it
See.
to, like at a more granular level to say that like we review it and provide feedback as opposed to being a part of the ground like on the ground conversations about what's included.
Okay, that makes sense. Sorry.
Yeah, and that's how I interpret it as well. And then so I guess then the recommendation is to not say that and try to get more involved in the development or something to that effect.
Yeah, it could be that. It could be that we put together a proposal that says, because you know, it would be difficult when reviewing like every capital improvement project that's coming up for the city of Tucson to include the entirety of PACD and our meeting schedules and everything in that process. But I wonder if it is like being more explicit that like PACD creates its annual suggestions for works and projects to be included that is like considered equally or something like that.
Yeah, definitely. I do, you know, just like going over it and everything. I can see where like that, you know, that language there and everything like that. And even being a participating member of PACD and seeing that, well, like just the whole process of it, you know, because I do, for the most part too, like when I first came onto PACD, like just realizing or I guess getting to know the whole process of what each project may go through. And even sitting on some panels and everything like that. And, you know, depending on the type of art project that's being discussed or any project that's being discussed and with PACD and everything and seeing how everyone's insight, you know, formulates and has an impact on like the overall product being that, the discussions that we have like during those meetings and everything and how everything relates to, especially when it comes to art and everything like that. I can see where it does get a little cloudy, for lack of better words. But as far as everything else, I think like the when I first got on, like the purpose of like PACD has, of course, like when you go into something, you don't really have an idea of what it is and everything like that. But going as often as we meet and everything that's been happening and everything like that, like there has been a lot more, I think, discussion on like things that are happening and the influence that we have and everyone, I guess, creating a community together and that. And that's like what I see the most fruitful aspect of the PACD community is having that there, you know, and having those discussions with the people in regards to like the public art and everything like that. But as everything, you know, you're not going to make everyone happy. And then there are these ins and outs that aren't really fully understood and everything because it is a whole process. And of course you will get to like the people and public who question what our purpose is and everything like that. I do fully believe that every project that does come in, I mean, considering to, like myself being a part of panels, like those panels are, and I'm using my community as an example for some of the projects that we had here. Like I was selected because I am a part of the community, and I would hope that it's the same for almost every project that is, you know, installed in each community, is that there's people there that have, the community in mind and any concerns and everything like that. So all that is hashed out with, you know, as the panel moves forward with the process. And once it gets up to PACD, like we can overlook it and every beam that we trust everything is crossed and dotted when it comes to like the selection process, the artwork itself and everything. And then just that last overview, and we can have an actual discussion of what moves forward or like what could be changed or anything like that. Recommendations, you know, like in the language there. So I definitely see, and it's just for me too, it's just a matter of if people do the reading or not, you know, on what it is there and to fully understand it. Cause it, for me, it was one of those things where like I actually had to participate and see what the process was to fully understand it, because each project is different and, you know, brings up its own challenges and everything like that. But it is one of those things where you do have to really be into it and, have a concern for it to like make sense in the end. If that, you know, makes sense for everyone, or if anyone was in the same boat as me, is like learning that process and like sort of getting a handle for it and everything. Yeah, sorry, went off on a tangent.
It's okay. Yeah, I think there's so much that's gained by participating in the selection panels and seeing what that process is like, and then understanding like, oh, this is how a project moves through its different phases. I think that's also kind of what you were touching on, Brandon, like getting that like real-time understanding of like, oh, this is like the ADs in action.
Yes.
Cool. But I guess what I'm curious is and apologies if I missed it, but was there anything in there about like were you sharing that in reference to the like potentially expanding the administrative directives, or like suggesting maybe, as Logan I think was, that we do reach for more baseline involvement at the time when like the capital improvement projects are being chosen and like the art plan is coalescing for the next fiscal year.
I think probably going more on what Logan was saying.
Okay.
And like I said, yeah, sorry, I went off on a tangent there
That's
and whatnot, but yeah. Apologies.
the fun part about subcommittees when we have just a handful of people is we have the space to like explore.
And I'll add, I think there's kind of two different ways that I'm in my head kind of viewing this. One is like taking away some of that more granular language, so that depending on the committee's ability, they have the opportunity to get involved in the development in some way, shape, or form. But the other is also making it more granular, in that, like, for example, it says that we can make recommended changes, right? We can recommend changes for the plan, but it doesn't say that there's anything about whether those changes will actually be like they'll be considered, but like, do we have any power over that? Like, is it like if we have a change that we unanimously agree on should be a change, does that have a sway in the actual, like, so it could be more granular over like these things will trigger this actually happening, right? Like, to give a little more power in there based on the idea that we can participate in the development of the plan.
Yeah, which has me wondering if what this education subcommittee should be working towards is kind of a, like, yes, have the things that we want to add to the next year's public art plan, but also, like, maybe a letter to, the city manager's office and elected officials and Arts Foundation, staff to just say like, hey, we'd love to collaborate on these definitions that are being workshopped, and we have ideas about like the potential mission of PACD, how we could and should be involved in some of these decisions, but we also have questions around like what happens with our recommendations and what is the decision, like the chain of decisions as it pertains to like the chain of command and this like jurisdictional hierarchy, which I think to understand that would mean that we're a part of the discussions. Adia, thoughts?
This may be kind of off topic, but I was just wondering, do we have any kind of idea of how many, like the percentage of projects that get accomplished actually go through this channel?
That go through like, wait, sorry, so the
Influence over if that would go through the PACD. I'm just curious.
like from the annual plan.
I just mean in general. I know, as I've attended meetings and stuff, there's been talk about how some projects are private and they get donated, and that's how artists and the art is picked. And then I know, like, I don't know. I'm assuming some don't even go through the PACD, and I'm just wondering, like, is there any kind of numbers. I'm just wondering how many we actually see in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, I think that's a great procedural question. I think just to, for like some clarity that like anything that's actually donated to be a part of public art, I believe does get reviewed by PACD. Like we, that's part of our purview is like we review donations and deaccessions or like the removal of art. But Sadie, do you have any insight as to like, do we have stats on, are there like any public art projects we're not reviewing as PACD, or is it just kind of like 100% public art PACD has some hand in?
Yeah. I mean, everything that you'll see on the draft of the public art plan and even Wolwyn's director's report does get reviewed by PACDC. For the Thrive projects, we haven't been putting that forward for review from the PACDC, but we will send it as a package at our next meeting for all of the Thrive projects. And so, you know, those are like public-private projects, but we just want everything to go through PACDC. So at this point, pretty much everything has or will go through the PACDC for review.
So even if, like, I own a building and I want something that, but that's what I'm talking about. Like,
yeah,
those two?
No, if you're a private property owner, then no, it doesn't go through.
The okay.
So unless only the city's involved somehow. And even okay. With that, like the, you know, 250 murals downtown, the, I think it was Arizona's 250, like those didn't go through PACDC. Those were on private walls and the city kind of just did that on their own accord. So yeah. Most everything that has to deal with the city of Tucson will go through PACDC.
On that note, looking over like the actual document and everything, would it be beneficial to have some sort of a, and I'm thinking, visually here, a visual structure of the process on how everything works. So with that, I'm thinking as an artist, and of course we do have the, what do you call it, links. We do have the proper channels to, direct artists to who are looking to get into public art, correct? And with that, they may or may not, you know, take advantage of those channels, right? But having something in the public art plan visually there on the sheet that sort of goes, I guess, like a directory on if you're looking to start out, what does public art look like? Can I just have any sort of space on a wall? Well, then we go into the conversation. Well, is it owned privately or is it city owned? You know, things like that. Can I install a sculpture at a park? Well, what's the project for and everything like that. So like a visual structure that sort of guides the artist or organization that looks to participate in having something publicly displayed. That I think would probably answer a lot more questions for artists who are looking into get into like this space in this realm, because then that's when they go into the conversations. Well, we have to again speak with PACD, or we have to see if any sort of project or donations and everything like that. So is there any sort of structure that's, and I could be overlooking it, but if there is anything there that has been said before on like what is and what isn't part of the process of getting everything reviewed, so that by the time that, you know, artists are ready, then they'll have already completed the artist roster, or they already have looked into public spaces or have spoken with someone who is looking to make an art donation on their own property, and you know, so on and so forth. Just thinking if that would structurally help eliminate some of the obstacles that are technically not there, just a matter of visually seeing what the process or what the, I don't want to say hierarchy, but what that process is on getting something started if you're an artist or a
flow chart,
something like that. I mean, it definitely helps me visualize and sort of line my ducks up in a row without, not the need for reading, because sometimes when you're doing something like that, like, it can get a little wordy, especially if something is needing to be presented in front of like a city council or PACD or, you know, another organization that is already established and that has all the wordy words to it.
Yeah. Something we've been talking about, I think, in this subcommittee, Brandon, we've talked about it a few times, but like, also, I think it's come up in PACD, can't remember, but that I feel like a huge proponent of is calling on the city to use its resourcing with its comms team and everything. So we're not calling on more resourcing from the Arts Foundation to create a really engaging series of short videos for the visual learners or non-traditional learners, or just so that it's easy to like hyperlink anywhere, share, that does exactly what you're talking about. And I'm not saying like that to exclude a flowchart in the public art plan, but I think both things kind of working in tandem. But yeah, like having some sort of like very accessible, like, here's a breakdown of the jargon that you see, and like, here's how to apply to an art, like, what is an RFQ or RFP, and like, what, you know, how do you get involved? What is the public artist roster? And this is how public art like flows in our city, in our region. And so something I'm kind of like hearing from all of us is, that could point us in a direction potentially with this work. I want to be mindful that we only have about 15 minutes left, and I want to come out of this with some action items, so I want space for that as well. But I'm hearing like that part of what we want to do is get really clear on our role as a committee and as committee members. We want to have more of a tangible influence on like what is the public art plan and how it's defined and what's included. But a lot of this is all wrapped up in making the entire process more accessible to even more artists throughout our region.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm all for that. Just some of the ideas that you outlined from, you know, the office and everything, because it will, in hopes, in theory as well, streamline the process to get art into public spaces in a perfect world, right? Where if everyone else's ducks are in a row, then they already have done most of the legwork on what is needed for that, and all they need to do is present to said organizations on what the thing is. Something like that will get projects done faster, you know, and like I said, in theory, get projects done faster, public is happy, generally, so to speak, on the speed of work being done and everything like that. Just another way, like, of eliminating steps, or having people, backtrack on their own projects because, you know, this or that was like overlooked and everything like that. But it definitely would be a help. And I'm just thinking, It would eliminate some of those steps that are often overlooked when starting a project. Because me, myself, as an artist, like I do that a lot, where I want to hit the ground running before I even have my plan set, you know. So, but yeah, no, thank you.
Yeah. Logan, I saw you come off mute a few times.
Well, I was just going to kind of address around just like sake of time. And I know we did want to discuss the free will and things like that. I would love to see the examples of that. The other just little thing I wanted to just put out there is around my personal recommendation for the art plan is in order to increase the objective of diversifying and creating different kinds of art from different kinds of people. I think there are a lot of desert landscape kinds of arts, and we may want to make some recommendation around having something else as an option. I don't know the phrasing yet. I haven't figured that out, but that is just a personal recommendation. I would love the art plan to have something around being like, yeah, and occasionally we have something other than a cactus.
Personally love that recommendation, and professionally I'm like, I don't know, like we can't really,
yeah, how content, I don't know how yet, but so it's got to be there somewhere. Like a percentage or something.
I'll definitely chime in. I mean, I'm all for the desert, and I'm all for it changing. But the real conversation that you need to have is with the artists. If you can find a way to sway the artists to change, then yeah. Personally, it is there or it isn't. How clever the artist is always like makes it a joy for me to see it. I like to always think that my art is changing, and I never like to stay in one place. I definitely do agree that, you know, is ubiquitous here, that desert landscape, the color scheme and everything like that. And change is really nice. But getting in that, I guess, into an artist's head is a battle in itself.
Well, I'm going to push back a little bit on it being just the artist, because one thing that can happen is the artist who has 10 different types of pieces, the piece that keeps getting selected whenever they pitch ideas to anybody may be the one that person is used to seeing. Like, oh, a nice desert. I've seen that before. That looks great. People like that. So I do think there is a little bit of like arts panels, people like in when we're making considerations. And if I'm not saying that it needs to be a rule, it may just be that it can be me just pushing that agenda, you know, here and there. But I do think that there may be more than just the artists themselves. They may be talented and creative, but if they want to get paid, they have to do cactus because that's all everybody's selecting. That I think there's a possibility there.
So I think that really goes into the call, actually, because when artists are creating for public works, they're trying to fulfill whatever the requirements of the call are. And so to me, that's really easy. You can say, you know, if it is supposed to be Sonoran themed, it can straight up just say like, oh, how can we think outside the box of cactus? What else is in the desert? What else is here? That you could do that. It still reads very Tucson, very Sonoran, like somehow in the language. But yeah, I think that actually is in the call.
I totally agree. And the funny thing is that it definitely is like a market aspect onto what's trendy or what's, you know, hot right now. And it's funny is that I can see that, but I have this idea of what the art market is, right? And you wouldn't think that public art would be influenced by it, but it definitely is. And getting that whole thing to shift is definitely a bigger beast in itself. But it is interesting to see like the trends and whatnot and what I guess the public want and don't want and everything like that. So.
I see, Adi, I see your hand up, and I did just see, I was just looking at the calendar because I wanted to look at the time, and I just realized we are scheduled till 2:30. Was that everybody else's understanding as well, or?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm available.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. I'm whatever. I was going to say maybe, and this has been my biggest concern, is not so much the content of the art, but the lack of diversity in the artists selected. And I think that you will see the diversity that Logan brought up if we start selecting different artists. And I don't know if there's a way to include a cap of some sort. It could either be, you know, if you get one in 2026, you have to reapply in 2028, or if you get one at this project price point, you have to wait, or I don't know. But just there's a lot of talented artists who, one, are probably not applying because they know that there's a handful of artists being selected, so they're not submitting their ideas. Or they're being overlooked because people are choosing the safe option, right? Or the other option is maybe these artists who are more tenured, more safe bets, that if they do one, the next project, they cannot be the lead artist. They have to be a supporting artist, meaning they help somebody. There's somebody who's new, who's trying to do something, and they come in as a purely supportive role to help them, right? Like figure out things, the logistics of how to do things. And I think that's something I would like included somehow. Just, yeah, as a person who is both an artist and who enjoys looking at art, I would like to see more of the same, of different things. Like there was, one day a mural popped up and I was like, oh my gosh, somebody new. And I got so excited. And then like four more popped up of that same artist. And I was like, oh, so that's the new artist. And they're very close together. So I don't know. Anyways, that's my thoughts. I'm rambling.
No, that's okay. I think the idea of a, like, a cap that doesn't prevent artists from continuing to pursue projects, but that does add a writer that like they become a part of an artist team to uplift an emerging artist with them is an amazing idea. And I think that it really speaks to, so from all of this, I mean, like, even if you're thinking about like the free wall, right? And let's say that the Sugar Hill Community Land Trust gets the free wall. Awesome. Like, that's great. And perhaps the city should have more than one free wall. And a free wall can serve as a proving ground, like a testing ground for an artist to do a mural size scaled piece of art and have that become a part of their, you know, document it and have that become a part of their application materials, their portfolio, in a way that is otherwise inaccessible to them. And I think that I totally agree that the way that we get that diversity we're looking for is in reaching more artists. That's part of the reason this education subcommittee formed in the first place, was for us to look at, like, we've been trying to answer these questions of, like, what is our purview for quite some time. We've been trying to answer this question of like, how can we help get the opportunities out there in front of more artists? And that's part of why we started, you know, a couple meetings ago, I was going through the roster of everyone's names on PACD to be like, okay, who are you going to reach out to and how and by when? Because we want to make sure that these calls are getting out to even more people than the folks that are like subscribed to their neighborhood association, the Arts Foundation newsletter, those sort of things. Like, make sure that people are seeing these opportunities that are less plugged in. And I think that what we're getting at here is a very comprehensive proposal. Like, if PACD is charged with educating the community about the public art plan, then we need to understand exactly what is our role in relationship to the public art plan. We need to understand what happens to our recommendations. And for this upcoming year and for future considerations, we have X, Y, and Z recommendations, including somehow, and this is something we'll probably have to workshop a lot more, but like, yeah, somehow encouraging folks to reimagine and push themselves beyond traditional Sonoran imagery. And how do we represent place and belonging in a way that pushes the boundaries of what we're used to seeing in our public art? How do we educate the general public and folks that would otherwise self-select out of these processes because they think they're not like qualified enough, capable enough, whatever? So how do we like create that education campaign that shows folks how easy and accessible it really is? And then how do we build scaffolding and structures for artists who are experiencing success to bring their emerging colleagues along with them? And this is just, I'm just naming all of the things that I'm hearing. And how can the city use its infrastructure to create more opportunities and platforms for artists to get that practice so that they become more competitive in the process? And then I think it becomes like, how do we target the educational outreach to artists that would otherwise self-select out? Like, are we taking this, how do you do public art to like high schools? Are we taking it to groundworks? Are we taking, you know, like, how are we getting this out into the communities that feel not, I don't even want to say left out of the process, that feel like the process can't even be on their radar? Does that, I also got a little rambly there. Does that make sense?
That all made sense. I did have two thoughts, I guess like additions. So I think there needs to be a component of education of how to apply. When you're submitting your idea, what is it that they're looking for, right? Because some people are fine with a paper sketch. Some people want a full computer rendering. Some people want, I don't know. And so I think there should be some component of education of like, oh, so you want to do public art. And then this is how you apply. And it can either be a component of like, if the free wall gets approved and it becomes a project, then maybe there are some workshops or something where the community can come and get information on how they can propose project, like be on the proposal. The other thing is, I was talking with a group of friends of mine about, well, they were talking about, and I was just kind of listening, about the mural, the rodeo mural downtown. And this was before my time, so I wasn't there for the process of how it got selected. But there's got to be some kind of educational fact checking or something that's happening, because one of the native people is wearing a Buffalo Soldiers belt buckle, which is they are in opposition of one another. And so for some people, that's really problematic. And so as as members of the committee who are like approving these designs and stuff, I think especially when there's a historical context, there needs to be something happening to make sure that that kind of stuff isn't happening.
Yeah, I can speak to
I
that.
I can chime in as well if anything. No? Okay. Yeah, no, so that was brought up. The artist did bring several renderings for the over the final product of the mural to PAGD, which we did have conversations of. And the artist, if I can remember, went with a general overview rather than focusing on little specific things. And the committee agreed that an overall representation of visual representation anyway, of all the facets that create rodeo culture was accepted rather than focusing on one, because I believe one of the concerns was the skin tone of one of the characters inside the composition and it being too focused, I think, on I think the like Caucasian aspect of it. So the artists just went ahead and made a general overview in terms of the art to touch on those little spaces here and there that all make up like the rodeo culture. But as far as getting into the detail on the small aspects of it, we didn't really get into that once it was approved.
I disagree, Brandon. I'm sorry. My experience of that was different. Do you mind if I share and see if we can find?
Not at all.
Okay, thank you. It was a very, like, that was one of the most intense mural approval processes that I think I've witnessed on PAGD. And I remember, this is why I'm disagreeing, Brandon, is because when it first came to us, it seemed like there was to me at least, obvious older white man in the middle of these two other men of color, neither of whom were black, that was like situated in front and center and like physically in front of the other men.
That is correct, yeah.
And then we pushed back on that.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a robust discussion about like rodeo history and like Buffalo Soldiers and women and like especially since Tucson was like the first city to start paying women for their participation in the rodeo and like yeah just all this stuff. And the artist Ignacio he said that it was his idea to make what he considered a combination of races and cultures and cultural representation. So he intentionally
generalized it.
Like, yeah, then like mismatched, but like in an intentional way, different components of different indigenous culture, of different, like it was just like an interest. I was like, wow, I've never heard anybody take this hot take. And also did not believe that the person that we were all perceiving, the figure we were all perceiving as being white was a white person. And so like, and the rodeo folks also said that this was part of the reason they really appreciated his approach was that it was like blending all of these mm-hmm. different backgrounds. And I think what of like several of us, I think you and I included on the committee, like took issue with that. And then we had this conversation about like, okay, but what about this other representation and also the placement? And then the artist came back. We didn't make a decision on that first meeting. The artist came back with like four or five other renderings that included, one had no people at all. One had, a prominent female figure, a buffalo soldier. One had, there were just like all these different ones. And the issue is that we as PacD, as much as we can entertain these conversations of design by committee, we're not allowed to actually, like you're suggesting, Adia, like we're not allowed to actually vote based on the content of the art. Like we can make those recommendations. We can work with whomever is like the sponsoring entity, and we can express like our deep dissatisfaction with whatever the end product is or might be, but we're really just there to approve based on, I don't have it in front of me, but it's like the like structural integrity of like the components that are being proposed, the appropriateness of the art based on like what's around it. Sadie, do you remember off the top of your head the other things that we like evaluate on?
Let me pull it
Sorry to
up.
put you on the spot. I don't know, so like I don't have it in my head right now. But I think that that was our issue, Adia, is that like I was like, why can't I wanna know, you know, like nix this, and we're not, that's like not within our purview. Because, and I think I understand, you know, that design by committee is a really risky, like slippery slope, in some ways. But then there's these other ways that it's like, wow, we could avoid these, especially at the scale of this piece, like these potentially offensive or harmful components. And so what we ended up like voting, we were like, well, since we can't technically tell you not to, we will just say that we hope and trust that you will take all of our, like everything we've expressed into like extreme consideration.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at, is that the generalization is what we ultimately decided on because of the other designs and everything like that, and just not biting the bullet, but realizing that it is like the rodeo commission or something like that that were ahead of that project, and they did already get into contact with Ignacio and everything, so they're, you know. Again, like how you said, our recommendations and everything like that, hopefully were taken into consideration, based
Maybe
off
I
of what I was.
misunderstood. I'm sorry.
No worries, no worries.
Yeah, and I would just say to add to that, like as Adrian said, the PACTC has some guidelines for the approval process of donations. You've mentioned some appropriateness of the artwork, the relationship to other things, maintenance, stuff like that. Design is included in a weird way. Like you're considering the design, obviously. And like historically, I'll say that there have been donations that have been rejected because of design. And during the rodeo conversation, the PACTC did ask that it come back and that new designs were submitted in its place. So, and personally speaking, my opinion is that if any PACTC members did not like the design or any aspect of a donation, that you can sit within your purview to vote no. But at that specific meeting, I believe the chair at the time did a motion to accept the original design because the rodeo committee had paid $40,000 for that specific design.
Oh, I forgot about that part.
Well, that's all very interesting. Thank you for sharing that information. It's kind of, I have a lot of thoughts about it, but it doesn't matter because it's already up. So, like, my concern is that it feels insensitive to the communities involved. To have to see that kind of, to see certain things. And I feel like wouldn't that be our role to make sure we're taking into consideration the communities that are one being represented, represented, and then how they're being represented.
I'm sorry for interrupting.
Yeah, go ahead. It's fine. Yeah,
I definitely, I think that there is some sort of, structurally anyway, when a project like this comes up, I mean, again, too, I'm speaking as an artist, who really prides himself on doing the research before doing any sort of piece that is, or can be culturally sensitive. Cause I am Native American and I do have, you know, my own reservations on, no pun intended, on depicting any of my cultural ceremonies in my art, because it is something that I view as commercial, the art market anyway. And I definitely do see where you're coming from with the, on how those things can sort of, portray a false image and everything. And coming as an artist, I mean, I definitely like to do my research because, one, I was taught that if you don't do your research, you'll get critiqued on it. And if it's public art, it's not yours anymore. It's the public's. And I do think that it goes into the, as far as I understand it, the art process starts with, or can start with the panel selection. And in my hopes is that with every panel, there is a collection of different people. Some may be artists, some may be community members, some may be city planners and whatnot, that all of these conversations are taking place in that initial meeting, because an artist is only an artist and they only are there for what the job is, especially if it's public art. You know, we're not talking about a gallery, or we're not talking about any sort of personal show or anything like that. So there is that notion of it is a job that is needed to be completed. And I would hope that those conversations are happening and all that work is being done behind the scenes to not only ultimately portray something or depict something on a wall that is all the above, but also has been taken closely into consideration in terms of like historical accuracy, not to offend any people, parties, or anything like that. And it all has to do with, I think anyway, on what conversations are being held at that level in terms of the panel selection, because there's definitely different levels on what or how careful I think an artist and a panel can select their art or the artists themselves on how well they do their research and whatnot as to create something that is universally accepted and accurate, you know, because I definitely do have my critiques on it and whatnot. But at the end of the day, it was a project that was brought forth by another organization and whatnot. And those are just some of the things I think that we as a panel have to deal with and sort of make our recommendations in hope that, you know, all those are understood. But I definitely see that there's a level there that in terms of like the beginning processes of panel selection and everything, that you'd hope there are different facets and different people being there that have these conversations. So it doesn't offend anyone in the long run, or the artwork will maintain its integrity in terms of historical accuracy and whatnot. So there is like a lot of things that go into it that can not make or break the project itself, because at the end of the day, everyone is going to have their opinions on something like that. And that goes into as how often artists are selected or whatnot, because in my opinion, there is some projects out there that, yeah, there are a lot of artists being chosen for, you know, projects and over again, it seems like. But at the same time, these panels may be the ones choosing that artist because they're in demand right now. So that's where it, you know, kind of gets tricky, I think, in terms of all that. But yeah.
But don't we create the demand by continuing to pick them?
I would say that that would be up to the panel. I mean, if the panel is chosen, say for a community, right? Then they obviously have their run of time with the applications that are accepted. And because the voting is a large aspect of, I think, how artists are selected, maybe the conversations always end up with an artist who is already doing work selected and chosen from there. But there is like a lot of things going on in terms of that. So as like I said, as far as my understanding or my experience in that is that like so I was serving on an artist selection panel is we had several artists come in, everyone talks, goes through their applications, and at the end of the day, there is a voting of about two or three, and ultimately the artist, the final artist is selected. And I have voiced my concerns about how often people are selected and everything like that and getting other people a chance and whatnot. But at the end of the day, the voting is there and, you know, we go with what majority is aiming towards, so.
So I'm sorry to cut this off real quick. We just have 10 minutes left, and I want to make sure that we are coming out of this with some action items, or at least like proposed next steps. So I can write up the little synopsis that I tried to voice earlier that gives us a kind of a skeleton of a proposal. I do not have the capacity to like single-handedly create a proposal for all these things. And in order for us to work together on different components, we need to be meeting as a subcommittee unless we are just talking like two at a time. So we're not violating any potential open meeting laws. There's not necessarily like a time crunch on this public art plan. Like we could, we can push it out till August if we need to, if we need that time to like get this done in a committee fashion. But I would like to propose that when we come back to the table together, we're kind of in more of like a co-working mode if possible and trying to like work through the different components and like what we want to flesh out and what we want to see. And then from there, perhaps it is like individuals saying like, I'll tackle this section or I'll tackle this section and we can pull together a proposal. Or open to other ideas of how we move forward on this. I know that we have about half the people that were interested in being a part of this conversation not present. I would love to not lose momentum around this. And I think that if we're waiting 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month in between each time we meet, then we have to like spend a lot of time recapping. So I have a couple of questions for Sadie. One is, I guess for everyone, I'm curious, like how frequently do y'all feel like meeting to like bust this out and get it done? Or do you feel like doing that? Or are you like, that's not what I signed up for? Let me out. I've already said my piece. Would love to hear your thoughts. Two, for Sadie, if I type up notes that could also include the links to all the things I wanted to show everyone today, can I send those to you to send out? Like, do those have to... If there are notes about what we talked about, does that conflict with any sort of official minutes guidelines? Like,
No, that's fine, as long as it's not a working document that everyone can work on together.
Great. Okay. So, yeah, I would love to hear folks' thoughts on, like, are there specific ways you'd like to move forward and or can we in the next 8 minutes figure out, do we want to meet again rather soon?
And then real quick on that, next month, the Arts Foundation is going on a two-week summer break, last 2 weeks of July. We already are scheduled for like three other subcommittees first 2 weeks of July. There probably is no room for the education subcommittee committee to meet. There may be, but it's going to be really tight, especially considering the PACTC meeting as well. So, Just wanted to bring that to your awareness.
I
Thank you.
mean, yeah, I'm happy to meet for this in a subcommittee form, and if we can't get around to it till August, like I get it. But it may be helpful, like in doing that, to like if people can come with the more outlined ideas. For me today, I didn't come with that. I was just like, here, just like brainstorm kind of stuff. But now that I've heard from some folks and have some ideas, I may be able to be like, all right, here's what I'm thinking, and bring it ahead of the next meeting, just in that like spirit of a working meeting, having some of the work done in advance, I think is going to be really efficient.
Any other thoughts? It sounds like, I guess what I'm thinking in hearing that, it's unlikely that we could meet again as a subcommittee before the Arts Foundation goes on vacation would be, we have this standing item for the education subcommittee and like outreach efforts on the PACD meeting. And so we could dedicate a little bit more time there and do a general update for the members that weren't able to join the subcommittee, outline a little bit of what we, that kind of like, provide that outline that we all kind of agreed on, and say that we're going to be working towards this in August and trying to finalize it in August. So if anybody wants to join the subcommittee meeting, then they can to do that, and they come with those any suggestions outlined.
I'll just directly to that. Yeah, if in your synopsis, if rather than like creating a whole proposal, if you could outline what elements that were talked about today would need to be defined for a proposal, then it can be like at that next PACD meeting, we can be like, hey, does anybody want to take on this element as like just to get the ball rolling, to get something written, and then later a subcommittee can take that.
Love it. Thank you. It's great. Any other thoughts? How are you feeling? Are you like, I'm glad I came to this meeting, I learned something? Or are you like, wow, that was unnecessary? Or are you somewhere in between? Like,
I'm glad we had it, and I'm glad we had the new members come in. It's definitely like a breath of fresh air.
Yeah. India, how are you feeling?
I'm glad I came. I still feel like I don't know what I'm doing, so but you know, I'm here.
That's
I'm
fine. I totally still feel like that.
Yeah. It's like a hard thing to get wrap your head around. And I think part of the, I was talking to Wilman about this the other day. I think part of that is that the administrative, whoa, sorry, this big dog is moving my computer cord. The administrative directives and there's just not a lot of consensus. I think we are more active than like PACD as a whole has been for a while in terms of trying to ask these questions of like, what do we do? How do we do it? Blah, 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 you know, and then like those things have just not been like very clearly defined in the past. And so I think there's a lot of us that are like, we don't really know what we're doing, but we're just kind of like throwing spaghetti at the wall.
I think the major, I mean, the craziest thing is that like I get the notifications and I see the meetings and I get this thing in my head like, wow, like, you know, not saying that I'm not to people or anything like that, but this thing like I'm important, you know, and it's a little, I guess it can be overwhelming thinking about the day to day things that you still have to do, but it's fun in that I get to do this, you know. And it's one of those things where like the balance is like, well, once I'm done with this, like, okay, I still have laundry to do, or I still got the yard to clean up, you know. But it's really cool because it definitely adds into, I don't know, for me anyway, it helps me think about like if there's still things that I have to do here at work or at the museum for the community, you know. So it sort of like keeps me in the pocket in that sense.
I was just going to say, Adia, that like, that's also like to your point about that rodeo mural, like, I don't know how many of us knew in that moment that we could, like Sadie just explained, like, you can definitely vote this down based on the design. And there's something in, like, knowing that or having that written somewhere, but, like, not knowing what the, is there repercussion? Is there, like, I don't know. There's just, like, a lot of ins and outs to learn about being a part of this committee. And I think, even at the time, I was like, can you, I, like, I just in explaining it today, I was like, I don't think we can vote it down based on design, but clearly we can.
Well, I was going to say, like, I'm excited because there's a lot of freedom in not knowing where the barriers are. And I think we will find them when we get to them. Hopefully nothing too extreme. And I don't want to, like, stress Sadie out, but I think there's a lot of freedom in that. And that gets me excited. I'm happy to move around in the dark.
Yeah, that's awesome. My specialty.
Nice. Well, with that, we're almost at 2:30. Anything else from anyone? No, thank you so much for your time, your extended time. Thank you for the forethought on the length of this meeting, Sadie, and for all of your help and support.
Of course. So if there's nothing else for this item, I'll move to item 4, review and vote on September 8th, Education Subcommittee meeting minutes.
Yeah, I only had one change on those, which was the under item number 3. It just says Ms. Shaw asked if there were any revisions to the July 14th agenda instead of minutes.
Okay, let me go to that real quick. Education Subcommittee. And then what item was that?
Number 3.
Okay, Michelle.
It's the first line. It just okay. It says okay. Agenda instead of minute. Yeah.
So. Okay. I made that adjustment.
Great. Entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll second.
Okay, so motion by Adrian. Who was that?
I said right. Chair. I said I'd entertain a motion to, oh, but okay. Like, I will also, I'll make, deleted. I made the motion. Brandon seconded it.
Second by Brandon. We'll go ahead and do a roll call vote. Let's see. Adrian Ackerman?
Approve.
Leanne Hernandez? Brandon Varela?
Approve.
Adia Jamil?
Approve.
Dusty Reyes? Audrey Wehner? Logan Green?
Approve.
Okay, thank you. We have unanimous approval. Are there any, for item 5, requests for future agenda items, are there any requests for the agenda for our next meeting?
I think just a public art plan, kind of working
and,
item.
And the free will, the ideas or the references you had, Adrian.
Oh, yeah. So I'm going to send those out in the, thank you, by the way. I'll send those out in the notes, and also I think that's going to be wrapped up in the public art plan proposal as one of the components. So it can just be under the one item.
Okay. Anything else? All righty. With that, the time is 2:32 and meeting is adjourned.
Thanks, y'all.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Y'all have a wonderful day.